From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, a debate over a proposed development in a popular Dallas neighborhood. But first, officials today will try to find the source of E. coli found in Fort Worth. A high amount was discovered near the Panther Island Pavilion. Weekly testing found 1,700 E. coli organisms per 100 milliliters of river water. That's well above the standard set by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. As a result, for the first time in 5 years, the Tarrant River Revision Authority had to ban people from swimming or tubing in the Trinity during a concert. The area near Panther Island Pavilion is the only problem area so far. Other parts of the Trinity tested below the standard. This week, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the Texas photo ID law violates Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act because it's racially discriminatory. The law is considered the most restrictive photo ID requirement in the country. North Texas Congressman Mark Vesey was lead plaintiff in that case. He sat down with Bill Siebel.
Why did you challenge the voter ID law in the first place?
Well, I thought it was important as the lead plaintiff to stand up against this Texas voter ID law. As you know, when this law was passed, I was still in the state legislature. I had a problem with the fact that, you know, we passed a bill, the Republicans passed a bill in the state legislature that said that you could vote with a concealed handgun license, but not a Texas State University ID. That just didn't make any sense. It was clear that the bill was discriminatory and that they were hoping that they were going to deny citizens, particularly blacks and Latinos, the right to vote. And that's why I filed the suit and will continue to fight all the way.
What do you see as the most blatant?
There are several things. There's not one thing that's the most blatant, but there are just several that I can think of off the top of my head. For instance, you know, like if your license is, you know, let's say it's 61 days expired, well, then, you know, they're going to say, no, you can't vote. Even though it's you, even though the person that walks in with the license is you, you know, 61 days, no, you can't vote. You have to file a ballot that won't count. If you don't bring your new ID back up there within a certain amount of time, then your vote, you know, doesn't count. And it's just little schemes like that.
So I'm wondering what your interpretation of the appeals court's statement is. Some people on your side say this is a victory, but then we also had Ken Paxton, the attorney general, also calling it a victory. How do you interpret what the Fifth Circuit said?
Well, you know, I'm going to be talking with my lawyers about that. You know, it's not clear because it will depend on what the district court finds as far as discriminatory intent is concerned. And so once it goes back to the district court, I think that we'll have a better picture. I'm hopeful that this will knock out this blatant and purposeful discrimination that the Texas legislature put on the state just so they could, you know, win elections.
Are you expecting the fix to make this law legal will work, or do you think this may be a long-drawn battle over this voter ID law?
You know, who knows? We really do have to wait to see what the district court says. It's just hard to predict exactly what courts are going to say. I'm sure that Republicans, when they heard that this was going to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal, they probably thought that that they had, you know, slam dunked this thing. And so, you know, and but they said that they violated Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. So you just never, you know. We have to wait to see what the district court says. I'm going to remain hopeful, and we'll see what happens.
Mark Vesey is a congressman from Fort Worth. Now to this week's Friday Conversation and the debate around a boxy five-story development in the Bishop Arts District of Oak Cliff in Dallas. Alamo Manhattan's proposal to build apartments, restaurants, and underground parking has sparked a debate about how to balance development with a neighborhood's personality. Landscape architect and UT Arlington instructor Kevin Sloan talked about the larger implications of this development with KERA's Rick Holter.
Kevin Sloan, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you, Rick. Delighted to be here.
The developer, Alamo Manhattan, will be presenting a new version of its plan next week. The original got such a reaction.
Well, and I think it's understandable because in the 20 or so years that Oak Cliff has done this amazing kind of inventive, courageous, kind of granular reuse,
which essentially has been take one building, mm-hmm. spruce it up, then move to the next building, do the same thing.
Right.
But that's changing.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what is very, very important to understand. Over time, that gets precious. And it gets interesting. And so now, you know, you see more and more activity, more and more kind of attraction. And then along comes the new zoning ordinance, which opens up the potential for none of that to happen really anymore.
What does this ordinance do?
It allows a property, a new property, to essentially build beyond the previous height restriction of most of the parts and places in Oak Cliff, which is one or two stories.
One or two stories, right.
So if you can imagine any building in the Bishop Arch Street, it's a little box, but it actually sits on a bigger piece of property.
Right.
Imagine if you could take the entire property, not only the building on the street, but the parking lot next to it, group that all together, and then extrude that entire shape up to 5 and 8 stories. That's what is now allowed by the new ordinance. The zoning ordinance allows the property values to spike to a point that saving buildings, getting inventive, getting creative, no longer is even possible.
So how do you solve this?
I think you solve it by removing the thing that's actually created the problem, which is the zoning ordinance. I think that if you just observe how Oak Cliff became what it is over the course of the last 20 years, in some ways, it was doing just fine. It didn't need to be rezoned.
But the ethos of the way this city developed, and really of the way all of North Texas developed, was put this out there, charge ahead. There hasn't been much charge ahead, but oh, we went too far. Let's pull back and adjust.
Right. But the kind of high-velocity development that comes from a sort of land rush that has been unleashed and opened up by this new zoning ordinance isn't the kind of thing that produced the charm and the value and the attraction that's unleashing the land rush. And so eventually the land rush or its results poses the threat that it could erase the very value of the place that started the whole thing in the beginning.
Let's step back just a little bit. What does this debate about Bishop Arts and this new urbanism mean for Dallas and for North Texas as a whole?
I think DFW, the entire metropolitan area, is largely seen by the world as a kind of generic city. However, Dallas urgently wants to compete with other world cities. And so that's why we see the magnificent buildings in the Arts District. If Dallas is going to compete more on a world stage with other North American and global cities, it needs to not turn Bishop Arts into a place that looks like everywhere else. We need to turn everywhere else into their version of a Bishop Arts.
Kevin Sloan, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Rick. Delighted.
That heat advisory that we've been under has now been extended to Monday night. Expect a high around 102 today, overnight low 82, and then tomorrow back to around 102. It's 84 degrees now in Dallas, 83 in Fort Worth. You can find us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at KERA News. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.